morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever it might be that you're listening to this, and I apologize for being a day late, but I'm working through a cold, and this is the second week or third week of this cold, and Ed and I are not getting along really well. But anyway, I did finally remember that I had a devotion to do, so open your hearts and minds to hear the words of our blessed Savior and what they could mean to us. I'm reading from the Gospel of Matthew. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." But he said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests. Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Yet I say to you that in this place there is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would have condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is the Lord, even on the Sabbath." The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. Well, it looks pretty simple to understand what Jesus is trying to say here. He's trying to say, we got to quit putting rules around everything. It's not rules that make us followers of Christ or believers in God. It's doing the work of Christ, the work that he did, the work that we have to do. The desires we have to share, the way we have to share from ourselves with others that are so less fortunate or maybe more fortunate. And we got to forget the rules and the guidelines. We got to forget what the church might be saying. I mean, the Catholic Church, a great church, but they got all these rules and regulations about what you can and can't do. And Jesus is quite simply saying, like the scribes and Sadducees here are saying, "Hey, look, you can't. Here you are out plucking grain. You're not supposed to be doing that. That's work. You're not supposed to work on the Sabbath." And Christ is saying, "Give me a break. What do you mean I'm not supposed to work? So these people are supposed to die because it's the Sabbath and I can't touch them? Give your head a shake. This isn't what it's all about. This isn't what the journey's about." And Christ, of course, he knew that they were going to come and chastise him for doing it. It was all set up so that he could give them a little lecture on the fact that, hey, you eat on the Sabbath. What's the matter with you? Are you special? You can break the rules, but I can't? And isn't that true today? We've got the church sometimes making all kinds of rules and regulations, and we look at some of the people running the church, we wonder, duh. They're not following any of these rules and regulations. What's the story here? Are they special? Have they been specially atoned by God so that they don't have to follow the rules? There are no rules. The rule is follow Jesus. Do what Jesus would do. Love others. Reach out with love and understanding. Confess. Confess your faith to those around you and allow them to hear how great it is to be a disciple of Christ. Jesus isn't asking us to make huge edifices and great big churches where we spend billions and millions of dollars. He's saying, meet out in the farmer's field. Have a service. Gather together and share the word of God. And then take the money you might have spent on that great, wonderful edifice that you're building and take care of the poor and underprivileged. I can say that now that I'm not in a church preaching, okay? But I'm not about to go out and stand in somebody's wheat field and do it either at this stage. But this is what Christ is trying to tell us. We got to get our priorities set right. Our priority isn't going to church on Sunday, although that's wonderful and we should do it, and that's where we gather to share, to be strengthened and encouraged, and to leave, to go out into the world and make a difference for Jesus. It's not complicated. We make it complicated because we all of a sudden get together and people think we have to have rules. Well, you can't do that. Oh, no. Wait a minute. Down here in the kitchen, those coffee mugs do not go in that shelf. They got to go over here in this shelf. We got to keep everything organized. Well, I'm sorry, but Jesus was probably one of the most disorganized people in the whole world. He had no intent of following a whole bunch of rules and regulations. He was simply there to tell people, follow me, become my disciples, follow what I'm teaching you, and we'll all end up in heaven together. And you don't have to do anything else. Oh, sure, we need to work. We need to support ourselves. We need to do other things. But the most important thing in our life should be following in the footsteps of Jesus. And that's what he's telling these Sadducees and these priests. So if I don't eat on the Sabbath, what does that mean? Does that mean I'm going to heaven? Well, half of you don't even believe in a heaven, so where am I going? Oh, I don't understand. Where did this rule come from? You make up these rules and regulations, and I don't understand. I can't comprehend. I don't know what to do. And isn't that true with us? We as a church, we gather as a council or a congregation, and we vote on stuff, and we say, oh, aren't we great? We've accomplished this. Look at how good it is. And then we look back and say, what does that have to do with sharing the gospel? Yes, we have to take care of the business of the church. But Jesus didn't have a church.
Well,
excuse me. Jesus had himself and his disciples, and they walked and they slept and they stayed wherever people would offer them accommodations, and they shared their faith. No, I don't think Jesus expects us all to pick up 10 or 12 people and walk around downtown Oshawa or Port Perry and encourage people to become Christians. But what he does expect us to do is to move beyond the confines of our chapel and reach out to people and love them and care for them and tell them about Jesus. It's not complicated. And most of us, in fact, I think all of us, follow that. There isn't, we help out where we can help out. We do what we can to make a difference. But sometimes we forget that maybe it's just time that every once in a while we'd say, thank you, Jesus. And we can say that out loud. And if the person you're with doesn't respond, that's fine. You said the words. They know who you are now. They know what you believe. And we move on. And we don't have to be confined to a sanctuary or a temple. The whole wide world is ours to share, to reach out and make sure no one is mistreated, misguided, forced into doing things they shouldn't have to do, that we stand up for those who have trouble standing up for themselves, that we reach out with the love of Christ, not to honor those who deliberately break the law, but we stand up to those who break the law and say, you made an error. Unfortunately, we hope that this time away will help you fix the problem. And then we create this prison system. Oh boy, well, if I get started on this, we'll be here for another hour. But the prison system doesn't rehabilitate prisoners. It just makes them more anxious to get out and correct the error of their ways and try not to make the same mistake again. Jesus is saying, we don't need rules and regulations. We should be living by the rules and regulations that we see that Christ exemplified. Not being stuck with saying, oh, I got to go to my church on Sunday. Oh, this is Lent. I can't eat, or I can't do this, or I can't do that. This is Ramadan. So what is it all about? It's about sharing the gospel, inviting people into the company of Christ, about showing by our example what it means to be a Christian. Christ said, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Let us pray. O gracious and loving Father, thank you. Thank you for each new day of life and the blessings that come from it. Lord, as we approach each new day, give us the courage and the wisdom to stand firm in our faith and our love of your Son. Give us the wisdom and the courage to share from the goodness of Jesus. And Lord, take away that need we have to have buildings and edifices. They're nice for us to gather in, but Lord, let us know that there's more to do as a Christian than go to church on Sunday. And all these things we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who when he prayed taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. A wife woke up one morning and said, Honey, I just had a dream that you bought me a new gold necklace. What do you think it means? I don't know, but Valentine's Day is coming soon. Tuesday you'll know, he replied. A few nights later, she again woke up after having a dream. This time I dreamed you gave me a pearl necklace. What do you think it means? You'll know Tuesday, he replied. The night before Valentine's Day, she again woke up telling him about her dream. This time I dreamed you bought me a diamond necklace. What do you think it means? Honey, be patient. You'll know tonight. That evening, the husband came home with a package and gave it to his wife. Delighted, she opened it to find a book entitled The Meaning of Dreams. And he's still alive, but just barely. Amen and amen.